Hi, and welcome to Serenity Now, a place for entrepreneurs to ask questions, learn, get connected, and be inspired. Join us as we talk about all things business and the search for the ever elusive Serenity Now in both business and personal life.
Digby, why should you listen to this episode?
I think 2024 is the year of massive change. It may be the start of massive change. I don't think I talk to anybody in business that says it's easier than it used to be. I think we have compression of profit margin. We have spiraling inflation, which is, and interest as well, but it's really making business more difficult. So I think the backdrop is there for change and being agile. And so I feel like everybody's got to listen to this, and I hope this episode just makes you braver than you would have been otherwise.
So Candace, why should you listen to this episode?
I think that if you're considering change and you just want to feel like you're not the only one and want to understand some of the things that you might come up against when you're trying to implement change, there's a couple of seasoned entrepreneurs that have implemented some pretty big changes and have some interesting insights for you.
Welcome to another episode of Serenity Now for Entrepreneurs, where we talk all things business in hopes to connect, inspire, and support our entrepreneur community. Today's episode is going to be a little different than the usual fireside chat format. Our topic is unconventional business paradigms. How's that for a mouthful, guys? We're going to dive into the stories of visionary entrepreneurs who dare to work differently and redefine success. I'm your host, Rita Kim. Joining us today, we have two wonderful friends and business colleagues. Both of these entrepreneurs have challenged traditional norms and reshaped their industries. Let me begin with welcoming Candace Nanka. She's a fellow Serenity sister and partner in her accounting firm, which is called Laura Nanka. Welcome, Candace. And I'd like to now introduce Digby Lee, owner of Digby Lee & Co., a legal firm. And here's another intro for him. He's our first fellow Serenity bruh. Did I say that right? Is it bro? Is it bra? Okay, we'll leave it at that. But welcome, Digby.
Yeah, it's really great to be here and with two people I know so well and a topic that I'm excited to talk about and have spoken about in the past. So it's going to be a great day. Looking forward to it.
Great. Let's jump right in. So both of you have embraced unconventional approaches in your businesses. I'm going to ask each of you to share a little bit about, first of all, like what set the stage? What led you to decide to do something different and challenge the status quo? Candace, why don't we start with you?
All right. So this was kind of took us a little bit longer to come to this realization than Digby. I think I know I've been watching his changes over time, and we started on our path a little bit later, but I think we probably came to the similar realization around the same time he did that it's just not working, this charging for the hour and putting in all sorts of efficiencies and then not being able to charge more because you're charging by the hour. So you're doing more work in less time, and the client's still getting the same value. And, you know, it puts a lot of pressure, especially when you've got, like everybody else, increasing costs for team members, increasing costs for everything, basically. And it was getting really challenged. And I was doing a lot of research and reading, and I came across a group of businesses that were changing the way that they were running accounting firms. And one of their premises is that charging by the hour is kind of not fair to the client, because we get paid more if we work more and the client doesn't get a different product. So it's a paradigm that needs to shift. And the work that we've been doing is predicated on the way that Australian firms run their accounting firms. And I'm really excited for all the changes that we're putting in place and yet to come.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, you know, there was some inefficiency that you started to learn or talk about, but then there had to be something else. I'm so excited that you reached out and learned some more. I got some more ideas from outside. Digby, your turn. Why don't you jump in and let us know some of the backdrop that you had in kind of making those changes that you wanted to make?
You know, I'm involved in legal tech as well. I'm listening to what's going on in the world. And in the legal world, AI is completely abuzz. Like, and so AI is connected to technology. And so we're just a little bit ahead of everybody. I honestly believe that when we turn around in 2 or 3 years, you know, the whole pricing models will flipped on their head when it comes to accounting and legal services. And Candace is probably right. I'm a born entrepreneur, more so than being a lawyer. You know, we have a value, which is boldly innovative. We've been on the cloud for 12 years or something. Like, we're one of the very first, you know, we just have always looked for what next. And so in terms of pricing, it was probably 7 or 8 years ago now that I had one of our students research the world to find out what is going on with law firms and how are they pricing and in a non-hourly way. And there's actually quite a bit of it going in. To Candace's point, a lot of it was in Australia. UK is very progressive as well. And so I did what we always do when we do things like that. I put it in a drawer and left it in the drawer because life's too busy every day, you know, and which kind of catches on. I think it's a different world right now. And I think more people will be embracing change with the challenges of compressing profit margins and inflationary pressures. So just quickly in terms of how we started. So it was literally on March 16th of 2020. I'll never forget the day. It was also a very important day for other people. It was kind of like, got to get back to Canada. COVID had just arrived. And I was sitting on a plane with my wife, flying back from the desert. And I went like, you know what? There is no better time than right now to bring certainty for clients in what are going to be very uncertain times. I just said to myself, basically, let's go do it. Like, we're going to go do it. There was no manual, no nothing, but we're going to go figure it out. So that's a little bit of the catalyst. And we don't bill by the hour at all. We've been doing that for over 3 years. We've built legal tech into it a couple years ago. So all in.
Perfect. So thanks so much for setting the stage, Candace and Digby. So these unique experiences were happening, and then there's the economic climate, and you started doing what, you know, business owners should be doing, which is not working in the business, but working on the business, although it's such a cliche, right? Because you are busy. So change isn't easy. And when you decided to go ahead and make this change, like, what was it that you did? What did you do? What did you implement, Candace, with your firm?
One of the biggest first things that we implemented was probably a price increase. Clients aren't going to want to hear that, but we were woefully undercharging. And so that was one thing that we did. But the next thing that we did is we started implementing efficiencies. So over this past summer, we actually completely nuked our practice management software and put a new one in place, which was like somewhat like having a lobotomy done. I'm not gonna lie. It was difficult. And it required a lot of change management because I'm working with a bunch of accountants, and although it's hilarious, you know, the stereotypical accountant, they don't like change. Well, it's true. They don't really like change, but they were all very excited because we were keeping them up to date on what was going to happen and how it was going to happen and where we weren't certain what was going to happen. And I feel that we came through it with a certain amount of enthusiasm and positivity, even though it was a little bit scary at times, because it's like, you know, all of a sudden everybody's like, well, how do we do this? And how do we do that? And it's like, we don't know yet. We're going to figure it out. So
together.
Yeah, together. Exactly. One of the best things that we did is we hired an individual just to be that person. So every question that everybody had to go to that person, and her full-time job was to coordinate with the advisors that we had in place to put this in and to answer people's questions and coordinate those questions and all those kinds of things. So now we're in a great place and we're starting to be able to leverage that tech that Digby is talking about and automate some things and take away those,
To our bra?
Yeah, I know.
What happened here? We got a new sister again.
It was just a slip of the tongue. It's not. Yeah, it was just a slip of the tongue. Yeah, no. So now we're in a great place to be able to leverage some of that tech and get rid of the errors and get rid of the routine tasks and all those kinds of things. And actually, I can see already an improvement to our service.
In summary, Candace, you changed some of the software around You changed some of the way you ran your practice with the team, and you work with some external advisors to support you throughout this process. Okay, great. Digby, I'll get you to jump in and share, you know, what was it that you did differently? And I'm really excited to hear about this.
Rita, you do a great job because you synthesize everything we're saying down into like a few points, which is fantastic. I want to pick up on a few things that Candace said that I think were really important before I get back into what do we do. So Candace, when you went through, one of the first things I wrote down was vulnerability. Like, and I love it because vulnerability, if you're vulnerable, you build trust. And so you did that with your team, which I think is, it's such a starting point. Like, I don't really know how this is going to work out. That's the truth. I mean, nobody could know. And by saying that and acknowledging it, but being a leader as well, I think that's really important in like a life period, let alone in change management. I also really liked how you talked about one person, like being like really coordinating everything. They don't necessarily have to be the champion, but somebody you have to dedicate time and energy. And in our case, which I'll get to in a second, my son, my middle guy, was a lawyer for 5 years and decided like, I don't want to do this. And he went on a sabbatical and he was coming back at the same time. And so he was available, needed to earn some money. So I plugged him into the project for 6 straight months because couldn't have done it. We didn't even know what to do to start with. So that was invaluable. So we did something that was similar. Also, I picked up on what you said, the continuous learning aspect of it. And I'm such a strong believer in that. Like, I was talking to our CEO, Wendy Allen, the other day, and we realized like it never stops. You never stop learning and you never stop improving because there's so much too, and you're not going to be perfect ever. And so I think that continuous learning loop and how you build that into your communication and your systems is absolutely vital in terms of long-term success. So very quickly, what we did, as I alluded to before, no idea how to do this. Like nobody, there was no manual, nobody was really doing it. So I thought about it and I went like, here's what we'll do. We have 4 practice areas, but we're going to turn them all into different project types. And so like an incorporation would be different than drafting a shareholders agreement in our world. And everything became like, we started to track, which is another point about data, but we started to track in 40 different project types. And so we had to redo our whole accounting system and build that out so we'd be able to see the different project types. And then for each of those, we created base amounts for the simplest of transactions. And to us, that meant like we looked a lot at market and determining what those base amounts. And then we built factors in, you know. So a really simple example that I like to use is an incorporation. So if you want a numbered company, no name reservation, you have 1 shareholder, you have 1 class of shares, that's the base amount. If you want a more robust share structure where you can do freezes and other tax-driven transactions, that's a different one and more value that's being delivered. So we did that to every one of our project types, and we created a written manual to start with, which was about 40 pages long. And that's what we used when we launched in September of 2020. Was this system that we created ourselves. So I'll just add one more thing that as soon as we finished the manual system, a friend of mine had said, Digby, you are going to turn this into a SaaS product, right? And I probably went like, what is a SaaS product?
Why don't you define that too right now while you're here, Digby?
Software as a service, like it's an app. And so it's to be able to do it through technology as opposed to manually. We had a 40-page manual. I literally, it was within the next couple of weeks, I went, yeah. So both my sons and I, we started a company called Alt Fee Solutions, and we built a SaaS product with developers that launched in October of 2021. So we've really like, we've created the pathway, and now we feel like we're going to change the legal industry because we have the software to support what people are now talking about doing, as I said before, with the AI buzz and technology. Like we think we're just on the wave. We're just ahead. So that's exciting. So there you go. There's a little background.
Wow. So fantastic. I love how you also kind of made your you know, comments on Candace and how she moved things forward. It's really important to kind of get your thoughts on that too. And that supports, you know, our audience listening. So on your side, March 2020 came along. 7 months later, you had something going in September. And, you know, I love that you used your data. You actually changed the name, because I think that helps with shifting the mindset, right? So you changed it from your regular work over to project types. Then you use the data to say, let me determine, here's what my probably time and potential cost would look like. I love how you then, and I'm sure Candace will love this part too, where you change the entire accounting backdrop as well to match this whole process, because that was obviously huge and key. You know, your 40-page manuals, that was beautiful because you were templating everything out and probably finding little things that you needed to continually tweak. And then your friend shows up and says, by the way, you know, you've got to also do this, Digby, in the midst of all of this insane disruption that you're working on. So why not add that a year later too with you and your family? So what a fantastic, you know, incredible job that you did there and disruption. So some people will be thinking, okay, so you did this. It sounds like both of you had buy-in with the team as well, but everyone's probably wondering, what were the results? So you did all this work, all this research. I'm sure there was cost, time, a few hairs, maybe gray hairs now, maybe no hair left. But what were the results? What were Digby's shaking his hair to show me that he's got hair. Thanks, Digby. So Digby, I'll start with you this time. What were the results? Were they what you anticipated, what you were hoping for, or something else completely different?
I feel like I want to go back just a bit and take off on, like, I want to talk about a couple of things that we did that were different, that they weren't just implementing. They weren't just like creating a system. They were fundamental to being successful with change. And so I use the expression being all in. So there is no doubt that we were all in. Everybody inside knew in the firm knew we were all in. Everybody on the outside knew we were all in. We hired a branding company. We came up with 40 different names that we could use for this new project. And we went through them all and we settled on actually giving it a name called Frankfee, which we kind of thought was cute because it's, you know, it's a bit descriptive, but not too. So I feel like clients now ask for the Frankfee. We internally talk about Frankfee. In other words, we actually just go FF, but it was being all in. And so it's hard to dabble, although sometimes change happens in small increments. For us, it was really being all in externally and internally. And the other point I wanted to make before we really get into how has it worked out is that we had a champion. I was all in. And I had a group around me that were really highly supportive. So we built on that. It was quite easy to kind of like, yeah, we're doing this. But it was the champion, and it was a team around the champion that I think was really important. So kind of wanted to cover that off in terms of the getting started. And maybe Candace, like when you got started, were there things that you do that you now look at that were critical? Because I would like to talk about results later, but you must have, like, what were you thinking as you launched?
I think the regular communication was probably like, and like you said, being vulnerable, just being honest that, you know, look, we're doing something entirely different and nobody around us is doing it this way. We realize that, but we also realize that something's got to change. And just because we've realized it before everybody else does not mean we're not going to do it. There's a whole country doing it the way we want to do it. So it must work. So I think just talking to them about that was, you know, and just being clear and making sure that there was a regular place for, okay, questions and concerns and how to have the conversations with the clients and all that kind of thing. Because one of the things I haven't actually delved into is that we've done something with our fees very similar to what yours is, except our work is quite a bit more cyclical than your work is. And we were on a flat billing system before, but we've actually gone one step further and done the defining of the projects a little bit more. And we've turned it into a monthly billing, right? So, you know, we service you on an annual basis. You typically spend this, so you're going to pay us 1/12 of that every month. And so that required a lot of client education because they don't actually see behind the scenes all the work that we're actually doing through the year. They just think they get a bill at the end of the year. So we're only doing work at the end of the year. I think that's where the biggest amount of care was in regards to change, was making sure that there was communication, because the fear of the pushback from the client, because internally, if we're going to change things, yeah, we can be all freaked out and have conversations and make sure they're going. But as long as nobody else outside knows that, then it's all good, right? Because everybody's worried about the client, you know, people thinking that we don't know what we're doing and things like that. So when these changes started being evident to the clients, that was the most touchy place, I think.
Yeah, I really love that. I like the idea of like a retainer system and a monthly amount. And I think for your cash flow, obviously, that's a lot easier. And you're probably to some extent spreading work out a bit because you're engaged already and you don't feel like, okay, now I need you to sign the engagement letter. I need to get started. And now I have 2 months and I got everybody. I'm doing the same thing. So I think that is really.
And one thing that people don't realize is that we've actually cut 3/4 of an FTE on the billing that we don't need to do now because the computer does it for us on a cyclical basis.
Look, we are now 3 years into it. And so I'm a data-driven person, and I think we are, as a firm, becoming more data-driven all the time. So there's a huge debate in this world about whether you continue to record time or not. And so I have never been able to get to not recording time because, not because it's relevant to what the fee is, but I don't know how you manage your business. In the end, it's a management tool. So we didn't change that very much. In fact, we've just kept doing that, even if we don't talk to clients about it. And so what that means is, in the legal world, and it would be the same in the accounting world, when we send out a bill, there's a time cost to it. If you bill by the hour, that's the hours times, you know, the hourly rate, and add that all up and all the people. When you bill on it by hour, then you just give the person the number. It's how many people worked on it, what were the hourly rates, how many hours, and that just goes over. So we've tracked all that, but we don't bill that way. And so what that generates is something called a billing realization rate. It's basically the fees that you bill divided by the time cost. And we know that when we started, this is the data-driven part, we were at something like 89% year after year after year. We know the legal industry is more like 84, 85%. And so we're already good. And then almost immediately when we converted over, like the billing realization rates just go, you know, started almost immediately within a year, we're at 100%. And now we average sort of 105%+. And so we have the data, and we also have the data broken down by now 100 different projects, because of course we've kept expanding over time. And so we can even see when we have the right people on the bus, in the right place on the bus, and to use the Jim Collins expression on the Good to Great book, I think, we can see that. We can also see when our systems are really good. And so we can see what work is good. So we've really, like, we're such a changed firm, and it's taken a few years of collecting up data and sharing data. You know, we're massive in terms of like wanting everybody to see everything virtually, because we think they can't make good decisions unless they learn from others. So we know, first of all, I don't know if I've lost a piece of work because of it. I think some clients might go, am I paying more money or not? You know, and I'm like, well, we have the conversation right out of the gate as soon as we know scope and price. And so I feel like that's way more in a positive on the client end. The second stakeholder is the people that work in the business. By far, they love not being judged, like their financial worth not being determined by how many hours they put in. It's by how good their systems are, and being efficient is encouraged, and building those systems is encouraged because they're judged that way. So, and then the last thing is the firm. That's the third stakeholder. And I've already shared in terms of, like, as a firm, how much more efficient we are. So result couldn't, actually, I don't know. I didn't have any idea how it was going to turn out, but it really, I don't know. I couldn't actually be happier.
That sounds amazing. And Digby alluded to earlier that Candace, Digby, and I have been working together for a number of years. And, you know, I worked with you pre the Frank fee and during, and, you know, now with the Frank fee implemented, I can tell you that not one client actually pre complained about it. Not one client after has complained about it. But the comments that have come out was, oh, it's just nice to know. it's just really nice to know a number in my head. And I think they really just like the open conversation. So you get to have a hello without fearing this first call. Am I going to be starting? Does the clock start now? When does the clock start? I think that was just trained by a lot of professionals, you know, to entrepreneurs and everyone in the community. The clock starts now as soon as you get on the phone. So you're kind of like, let me have my bullet points. Let me just start jumping in, but without actually having a proper conversation. When you have a conversation with Digby, if you've never done it before, you should. He's not your typical lawyer in any sense of the word. It's hard to wrap my head around that he is an actual lawyer, because he is exactly how he is today on the podcast. He's fun and he's brilliant. So I love that. The whole purpose of your firm was to support entrepreneurs, so they're feeling supported. Internally, performance management, performance metrics, how people move forward and move up in business, I'm sure the whole team was much happier, not worried about billable hours. And now you're looking at something else, who they are, perhaps some of their innovations, some of the ways that they're supporting, you know, the business as a whole, and then the business itself. I'm so glad you said you couldn't be happier. And just again, to be clear, this is 3 years plus in the making. This is not something that was easy. It's not an overnight. This is hard work. So Candace, I'm going to jump over to your side in terms of, I know you're still going through your phases. So it's a little bit different than where Digby is. And so each phase that you've implemented is, you know, kind of succession onto the one prior. But how are you feeling so far? And I guess, well, you can define it the way Digby did as well, or your own way, like clients, internal, and the business itself, but feel free.
So for me, I'm ecstatic because I could envision what was going to happen. And it turned out even better than I thought, because now there's a whole bunch of things that we don't have to do. There's a whole bunch of things that we're doing for the clients that we weren't doing before that really make a huge difference to them. Right? Like one of the things that part of that annual process is that we need to have a meeting with them. We need to know what their goals are so that we can help them meet their goals. We need to know what's important to them, because accounting might seem like it's all the same for everybody, but it's not. It's the risks that you take, the priorities that you put on expenses. And there's all sorts of different things that are affected by who the client is. And so now that we're having those meetings, we're having better relationships with our clients for sure. And now that we're coming up to the first of the ones that we put into place where we have to renew them, and it's so much less work than initiating a year end before we started doing it, or an annual cycle, I guess I should say. It's so much less work that now the lights are going off on the team. So I can start seeing the team is going, aha. And they're starting to get the feedback from the clients about how wonderful they are. And, you know, thank you for having a meeting with me and all those kinds of things. I mean, some basic things that we should have been doing all along, we just didn't or couldn't make the time. And now we're making it a priority because that's how we want to service the client. And I can see the light bulbs going off in the team. I can see the light bulbs going off in the clients. And when the light bulbs are all firing and then everybody's happy about it, I mean, it's only going to be good for the firm. I can only envision how well the firm will be better for this. And this time next year, I'm hoping that we are as changed from a year ago as we were from now a year ago. So
that's just so cool. I mean, I'm such a proponent and I speak and write. And I'm just like, when I hear other people saying the stuff that like seems like they're going and doing things, is really exciting for me.
And now that we're doing it, it's like, why weren't we doing this all? Like, it seems so obvious, right? It seems so obvious in hindsight. Like, why weren't we always doing it this way? And to get there was some buy-in. Like, I'm not going to tell you my business partners were 100% at the beginning. There was some convincing that had to be done. I mean, it wasn't that hard, but there was some convincing. But now that we're into this and the train is starting to pick up speed, so to speak, I can see everybody's like, okay, this is good.
So you just phone me when you need a burst.
Yeah, no doubt, eh?
I can do that. So I want to, just before we go on, and I'll be quick, there's a couple things that popped up and that come out of all this. And one is that, you know, it's recognition that we actually don't just sell accounting services or legal services. We're like Starbucks. We sell an experience. And so this really allows you to do everything that there is in terms of like focus on like, what does it feel like when you walk in? What does it feel like when the phone gets answered? What's the tone of voice when you email? I've been saying this for a long time. We sell an experience. And so I think if we keep remembering that, that it's more than person comes in and says, here are the facts. Can I get an opinion? But it's all my good client experiences all are about like, Digby, I really trust you. I know you've got my back, like those sorts of comments. So that's one thing. And I also wanted to say, because I think we've talked about it in kind of obliquely perhaps, but you have to celebrate your successes. Like in anything you do, because we all tend to dwell on the challenges and go, you know, this problem client is, but we put this system in, probably 10 years ago. We call it desired client responses. We track when clients say to us something really like a wow statement, and we share it within the firm. And we've learned as a culture that it's okay to share that if it's about you, because it's really about everybody. It's about the person that took the first call. So I feel like when you're implementing change, you cannot undervalue the importance of celebrating all the good things that are going on. And I think one other thing we've talked about is the continuous learning. Don't ever think you're there, and create a system where there's always a chance and there's always a mentality of getting better. I think we talked about that at the beginning, but there are just a few things that I wanted to get out there as we're probably getting more toward the end that I think are really good things to think about when you're implementing change.
When you're talking about those celebrations, it's like you're reading our playbook from our coaching program, because the right now our work programs are done in three tertials. So we have 3 4-month tertials every year where we have this is what we're going to do this 4 months. And we have little, competitions and goals to meet. And so already we've spent more money on Starbucks and prizes and balloon walls and, you name it. We've had all sorts of fun and games. We have our annual team prep for tax season here coming up, and we're having some sort of Olympic mini sports day thing. So it should be fun.
Fantastic. Well, I could probably sit here forever and listen to the both of you. And it's wonderful that we had such strong people to begin and start going through and learning and then walking through and then implementing, but getting buy-in. And then, as you said, Digby and Candace, it's what we call a work in progress. That's just life. That's our business. There's always more, and there's always more to learn. And so as we wrap up, we always like to kind of go around the room and share any kind of final advice or a tidbit or an aha moment as we walk through the last little bit. Candace, perhaps I'll start with you. Any final advice or last words?
I just want to say to those entrepreneurs out there, if you think there might be something that needs to be different in your industry, pursue it. Because I don't know, I feel that like the whole, especially professional services, we're on the crux of a huge wave of change because things need to be done differently. So don't be afraid. Just get out there. And Digby's already offered to be your cheerleader. So
fantastic. Digby, over to you. Any final last thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting question there. I, as you can already tell, I have lots of thoughts.
Lots. Yes, we know that.
Because I think I've been at it for so long, and I have spoken and written, I've had to consolidate my thoughts. So I feel like everything that we've shared today is important. I'm trying to think about what is the one thing. You know, I just finished reading, I think it's Bob Iger, and he's the guy with Disney. I just finished his book, and he starts at like the very beginning of when he first started to work for ABC Sports, I think it was, and all the way to where he is. And then I was really, what it really caught me was the ability to take Fox and Disney and division to see how you'd put that together and it would be something brand new. If you can take those billion dollar companies and have the vision of how you'd put it together and you would start afresh, like you wouldn't be locked in with the status quo, like, oh, we're going to move this person over here and this person. I thought, like, holy cow, like, I can implement change. My job has got to be a lot easier. That sounds really hard. That sounds like you have to spend days which he did, at a whiteboard, literally trying to figure it all out, like by himself before he'd even share with his team. So I go, like, I found that very encouraging. So for anybody out there, you know, it really can be done. It isn't really as hard as you think. And it's been done on massive levels with massive companies. So there should be some encouragement there.
Great. Just amazing wise words from both of you. I just want to say thank you for sharing your insights and your stories of working differently. You know, it's a reminder, innovation begins when we challenge the norm. So on behalf of Serenity Now for Entrepreneurs, Digby and Candace, we hope that this episode has given you some, perhaps, inspiration to consider some innovation in your business. Please share this episode with some entrepreneurs you know, and we hope that this episode has maybe, perhaps, given you some Serenity Now. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and picked up some good tips and best practices that would benefit your entrepreneurial journey. Remember, none of the content in this podcast should be relied upon as standard legal or business advice. Always consult a professional for your specific business. You may know someone who could benefit from this podcast. Please share it with your business community, and perhaps it can give an entrepreneur you know some serenity now.